Can y'all hear me? Yes, you can. Y'all forgive me tonight. I still got the frog in my throat. And so sinuses, it starts right when I get behind this pulpit. Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Very sweet of you. But anyway, so I got this big yellow cloth you wipe down your car with. I bought it brand new from O'Reilly's, and you'll be surprised when you fold it up like that and cough over that, it will just about muffle the whole entire cough and you can't even hear me. So trying to be prepared tonight, trying to be prepared. How are y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Good, good. Got a good crowd here for a Wednesday night service, midweek, and cooler weather coming in, and our people's coming in, so we praise the Lord for that, for sure. And we'll jump right into things tonight. I tell you what, let's do things a little different, a little maybe backwards. I need a second to drink some of this water, and so maybe if someone has a prayer request before I read off my list, or praise or update, you can make it known. Oh, Nicole, huh?
Yeah. Talked to a niece of mine, and they had to evacuate.
Let's remember those in the pathway of Hurricane Nicole. Hurricane Nicole.
My cousin had a stroke the day before yesterday, and can't see on my eye.
Goodness. Remember this tonight.
I got a prayer request. My mom and dad had cancer.
Sorry to hear that. We will certainly pray for them. We will. We certainly will. Travis?
Look, back on God for a minute. I've been pretty dead, jail, or in hell. But he's grateful. Thank God for his grace. That's not done all that he's done. He's been good.
Amen. Good to see you here tonight, brother. Bro Jeff, did you have a hand up?
Yep, Sharon, Brother Dave. It's both a praise and a request. He's had blood circulation. I think we thought it was a stroke at first, but it wasn't. So, I don't know any details, but it wasn't as bad as we thought it was.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that. Miss Glenda.
I have a praise. I had asked prayer Sunday morning for my cousin's little boy that was at Scottish Rite. And he went home yesterday, so he's doing well. He's still got a little more recovery to do, but he's doing much better.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? All right, I will mention some folks tonight. Miss Tracy Reese, she texted me yesterday, and she nor her mother was here this past Sunday because of her head pain, but she wanted us to remember her aunt. Her surgery is probably over now, but it was today at some point, and nonetheless, I did pray for her, and I told her I'll mention it tonight to you guys, so pray for her recovery. That's Miss Tracy Reese's aunt. And also tomorrow, Brother Larry Bennett is going for a colonoscopy. So he wanted me to put him down the prayer list for that. And Miss Helen Bennett, I believe it's the 23rd, she's having surgery. I believe it's hernia surgery. And so let's remember his mother, Miss Helen. Let's also remember Brother Dion Lauder as he continues to recover from his knee surgery. We kind of chatted back and forth last night, and he says he's getting there. Of course, it's only been like a week, a little bit more than a week. Still some soreness. He's going to therapy. I know Miss Marianne's getting ready to have a knee surgery. And you'll do just fine because Brother Dion's making it, and there's others who made it just fine.
Just like you did.
Yeah. You're going to be planting tulips the next day. That's right, that's right. Yeah, Miss BJ had an outstanding recovery. But remember, Brother Dion, if you would, Miss Joanne Rich and her knee, Brother James and Miss Shirley Townsend, Brother James as he continues to try to get better, and Brother Alan Clayton. I received a message today, an update from him, but it's on my phone, so I can't give you an update. But I do know that he had an appointment today, I believe it was. Christy texted me as I was on my way here. I wasn't texting and driving. She told me she texted me. So we'll get back with you on that. But just remember Brother Allen. It was so good to see him back leading the choir Sunday. Looked like he had some more strength. And so we praise the Lord for that. And again, Miss Marianne Sanvey on December the 28th for her knee surgery. And is that going to be Emory, Piedmont?
No.
Local?
No.
Northside. All right, we will certainly remember that. Miss Shauna Bendy, she keeps me busy. All joking aside, she reached out to me yesterday. They have somebody. It's in the family. They call them Pawpaw. It's like a cousin's her female cousin has a husband. It's like his grandfather, but all in the family kind of thing. He's been a grandfather to many. Somehow he got thrown off his tractor and it ran him over. Partially, he has some brain damage, some other things going on. He is in the hospital, so I told her. She asked if we would pray for him, and of course I said yes, we would. And so mentioning that to you tonight. Of course, Brother Michael, he still has kidney stones since the very first day they came here, and still trying to figure out what to do with that. And I don't know. I say if you're not in any pain, you've been trying to get rid of it for months, leave it alone. Brother Michael knows if he can leave it alone or not according to the pain level. Just remember him, Miss Shauna, and I know they will appreciate that. Miss Amanda Martin almost had to be rushed off to the emergency room from her job. She had a spell a couple of days ago at work. Her blood pressure, I think it was like 185 over 96. That bottom number is a little high. I've seen it higher, but that top number is very high. And for someone who is, you know, like she is, lost the weight she lost and being active, you know, she really did not understand where all this was coming from. It was kind of like an anxiety attack, a heart rate. What did she say? She said her heart rate was low, but her blood pressure was high. Everybody from work said, we need to call you an ambulance. And she just insisted she was going to go to her uncle down the road who's a doctor, and Christy told her, said, Amanda Martin, next time you ride that ambulance. And, you know, high blood pressure is what? The silent killer.
Yep.
Silent killer. You can be feeling fine, and that blood pressure be really high, and then next minute, goodbye world, hello Lord. It's a scary thing. You got to stay on top of it. And so I told her we'd pray for her. She is doing better. She is now on a blood pressure medication. And so remember her. When you pray, remember our children's home. Brother Harold Dolph. As you remember, he asked us to anoint him on Sunday morning. Brother Harold, you know him better than I do. He wants to do more than he can actually do. He wants to do more than that. And I know that has to be aggravating with a strong desire to serve the Lord, and your body not allow you to. And so, of course, he asked us to do that, to pray for him. So just continue to pray for Brother Harold, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally as well. Richard Martin, Bobby and Nancy McClendon, Don and Carl Rich, Claudia Darby, C.C. Prestridge, Randy and Diane Ely, the Dalys, the Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Melissa Slagle, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, that's in the Marines, Peyton Cocker in the Navy, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. So just remember those requests, if you would. A couple of announcements, if no one has any other prayer requests. Miss Glenda?
One more,
that's okay.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. We think Miss Robin put out a post, and we responded to that. Brother Allen was, how about that? Brother Allen at Floyd Road used to be choir director, and Brother Allen here. But yeah, he was our choir director for years. I was going to say, kind of chatted with Brother Don Rich, yesterday. I want to say it was just briefly by way of text message, and Brother Don had made a connection, of course, you know where the Bibles come from, with Liberty Baptist Press, I believe, something like that. But anyway, they have a ministry, and I told you this before, but they'll mail out as many postcards with your church service times, plan of salvation, everything. Well, I got all that set up. And I got the confirmation from Brother Don, and today or tomorrow, sometime this week or early next week, they're going to mail out from Florida in our zip code, 30127 Powder Springs, 23,000 invitations. Now, I'll tell you something. If we have 23,000 people show up, we've got a good problem, don't we? The first thing I'm going to say is let's take up an offering. But there's a little place on the back of it that says, if you would like a Bible, call this number, and it's going to be our number here or my cell phone, something or another. And they're actually going to be sending us some cases of Bibles too. So this will be a great opportunity for we got you covered. Hey, that's okay, man. That's okay. We got you covered for sure. And so we're really looking forward to this. All right. Thanksgiving dinner. That'll be on the 20th. Remember that at 5 o'clock in the sign-up sheet. No midweek service. As you know, Thanksgiving is that Thursday. And Wednesday, I really don't foresee a lot coming on Thanksgiving Eve. A lot of people will be wearing their aprons and got the turkeys basting. Well, I might leave here and go to Sugar's. So just remember those things. We mentioned that on Sunday. It's in the bulletin. All right. Anybody else before we pray? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. How about that? sure is.
I wish I made it just that way.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for sharing that. Let's move on. Anyone else before we pray? All right. Like we do every Wednesday, all those who would like to come down to the altar and pray, you can at this time, or stay right where you're at in your seat and pray. We'll have a time of silent prayer, and then Brother Jeff, I know, has something up his sleeve, so looking forward to that. always. All right. Take your Bibles tonight and go to Matthew chapter 6. I really, really tried to get into looking at another judge tonight out of the book of Judges. And Deborah had two chapters. And so we didn't want to rush the studies on that. And God kept speaking to me out of Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount. And so we want to look at something here tonight. And I know we're not going to be teaching an hour. It may be 30 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. I really don't know. All I know is this verse is on my heart for tonight, and I hope it'll be a help to someone. I do want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we will bring about the message. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all things, the good, the bad, the challenging things, Lord, we're thankful for, because we know that you're working those things together for our good and your glory. We don't have to understand everything. All we have to do is follow you, and you'll direct our steps. Meet with us tonight for a few moments and show us something great from your word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, we're in Matthew chapter number 6. In just a moment, I want to read from verse number 11. Verse number 11 is going to be our text verse tonight. We're parking it and leaving it right here in one verse for this evening. And Matthew chapter number 6 is right in the middle of Jesus and his sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter number 6, right there in the middle of his sermon, Jesus' sermon. The Sermon on the Mount starts in chapter 5 and it ends in chapter 7. And we have right in the middle, chapter 6, 5, 6, 7. Sometimes I have to count two or three times to get it up here. But right there in the middle, we have Matthew chapter number 6. I want you to notice tonight in verse number 9, as we begin to work our way down to verse 11. And I said we're only going to look at verse 11, but I got to introduce some things until I get to verse 11. Verse number 9 says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And then verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." We know that this prayer continues, but for the sake of our thoughts tonight, we're going to stop right there. Back in verse number 9, many people would say that this is the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. Many people would say that. Even a number of years ago, I repeated what someone said and said, "That's the Lord's Prayer," because that's what someone said. But after I got to looking at it, it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. It is indeed the Lord praying the prayer, and he did the praying for it, but he was doing the praying because he was teaching. And so notice what he says in verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." He talked about the hypocrites. He talked about these praying so everybody can see them and, you know, give them glory or whatnot. But he says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." In other words, this is a pattern prayer. It's a model prayer. And so we know it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord praying it, but he's praying it because he's teaching it. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We don't have time tonight to go line upon line, but he does start off by saying, our Father, which art in heaven. When you get down to pray, number one, make sure you know Jesus as your Savior. Make sure you're saved. And I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd. There may be someone on Facebook. You just never know who may be watching or listening. But he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father. So we got to make sure that we're connected to the Father when we get down and pray. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then, of course, verse number 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so this model prayer, basically, back up in verse number 9, it was framework, or the framework for prayer. It was a pattern, or a directory, if you would, for prayer. It's a great place to start to really develop a prayer life. Once you start reading these verses and through the method of prayer even, it has a way of dealing with your heart. It talks about forgiveness, and it talks about hypocrites. And listen, by the time you get through praying this prayer, you've done met with the Lord. And so the best thing to do is just say, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Forgive me if I don't line up with any of these verses. Tonight, we're going to be in verse number 11. I wanted to just start the lesson tonight with verse number 9, just so we know a little bit of context to what we're looking at. And so it's the Lord teaching the Sermon on the Mount. It's the Lord teaching others how to pray. It's the model prayer. And in verse number 11, part of that prayer was this. Give us this day our daily bread. I want to look at verse number 11 tonight. And I actually want to share two things out of this verse. And the title of the lesson is God's Daily Bread. God's Daily Bread. He says, give us this day our daily bread. That bread tonight is symbolic to both that of physical needs and spiritual needs as well. We know that Jesus calls himself, he says, I am the bread of life. And we know if we ever come to Jesus and partake of him in salvation, we are forever fulfilled and filled. But tonight, this bread that he's talking about, it's the needs that we have. It's concerns that we may come in contact with on a daily basis. It's things that we have anxiety over, maybe even fears over. And so right here in the middle, chapter 6, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, 7, chapter 6, right here in the middle, verse number 11, talks about God's daily bread, his daily bread. Two things. Number one, God is ready to meet our needs. I want you to notice something here. I really didn't notice this until today. He says, give us, notice these two words, this day. And then he says, our daily bread. And so he uses the words this day. And then he says, daily bread. So if I were to say, Lord, give me today, this day, my daily bread, then I would be talking about this day, Wednesday. And if I were to say, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, that the daily bread is speaking of something that's already there. Now, the expression tells us that there is provisions made every day by God. Let's look at it again. Give us this day our daily bread. Does that make sense? And so the teaching is, Jesus is saying, Of course, he's teaching on prayer, but he's directing the people of the community, directing his disciples. He's preaching to a multitude. And he's clearing up this whole prayer thing, the hypocrites are praying. And he says, mention this in your prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And so those words, this day, and then the word daily, those are special words in this verse because it tells us that, God is ready to meet our needs. I want to say also about this day or daily bread that Jesus is speaking in layman's terms. He's speaking so that the people of the day could understand when he says this day or daily. And you might say, what are you talking about in layman's terms, the people of that day? Well, of course, people worked back then. And a lot of times there would be laborers who would work. And they would work a day. They would work a certain time in that day, if not the whole day. And they were paid for that day of work. But the pay was so low that they were most of the time unable to save anything. It can, in most cases, just buy them a meal or a day's worth of food. And so he's speaking in layman's terms. He's speaking in terms and uses these words, give us this day our daily bread, so that those in the community, those listening down away from the mountain, would understand what he's talking about. Bread, daily. Those who worked knew what it was like to work hard and only get a meal for it. Not only that, but they had to deal with weather like any when it comes to farming and crops. What would happen if there was a crop that failed to yield? Then nobody would be able to work and get that daily bread. And so as we stand back and take a look at this, we read, give us this day our daily bread. This is Jesus saying this. He's saying, guys, pray this. Because there is daily bread, both physically and spiritually, the things that you need laid up for you. But you got to go after it. You got to go after it. And so we see here that God is ready to meet our needs. You know, tonight God is ready to meet our needs. He's ready to meet our needs. He has the answer before the problem even starts. Each and every day. Now, tomorrow's daily bread won't be here today. And today's daily bread won't be here tomorrow. But each and every exact day, God in his foreknowledge and his sovereignty has already made provisions in each and every day. All we have to do is lean on him for those provisions. You remember in the Old Testament, Moses and the children of Israel, the manna? Remember the manna? And how manna was rained down and they were only to take a certain amount. They couldn't store it up. If they stored it up, it would spoil. And so that's a picture of God's daily provisions. That whatever Justin Hales needs on this Wednesday, and I had some needs today like everybody else does, every need was met. And let me just rewind a little bit to Monday. Had some burdens that I was bearing. I've been kind of quiet about them. Just saying, got an unspoken. And I was stressing over it. I really was. I was trying to get my heart and my mind on the same level. And trying to believe God for something. And Thursday, tomorrow, is a big day. And I know the more I talk about it, the more you want to know. But literally, just you know, something in the family, just physical stuff going on. Nothing life-changing, but it was something that bothered me. And so Christy got home, excuse me, Monday night. I thought I was going to have to wait all the way to Thursday to find out. And she said, God answered that prayer. And she looked at me like, you know, Christy knows how to hold a secret to herself. Not me. If I know something exciting, guess what? Guess what? And so got home. Excuse me, guys. Let me just go ahead and tell you, without saying too much, because I know you're wanting to know. She had to take some tests, some blood work. There was a possibility she might have cancer. My wife. And I'll tell you, nobody knew about that. There's some burdens you can only bear yourself. And please, when I tell you that, I know Facebook and all that, don't nobody ask her about that. You know, some things are better left to, you know, just unsaid. But I want to give God glory tonight that she's going tomorrow to the doctor. She still has to go. But the blood work, I mean, everything was looking like it was. And she took a specific blood test. And I want to tell you what, God worked my faith over big time. I struggled. Last Sunday was a nightmare in preparation to come here. I did my very best to come here and to preach from the pulpit and still try to block out what I'm going through for you so you can be fed. And what I'm saying is that God answered that prayer. It's something that could be managed, just, you know, some little physical elements here and there, nothing like that. I mean, hey, she's 41, I'm 40. When we met, we were 20. And so over time, 20-ish, over time, your body goes through things. So what I'm saying is, on Monday, God had that waiting on us. But on Sunday, I had no idea. Had no idea. There you go. There you go. And I got to thinking about, what did we do Sunday night? We had a testimony service. God keeps proving his faithfulness over and over and over again. But I want to tell you what, you know as well as I do, each and every one of you have been through the fire. And you know how unpleasant it is each and every second of the day. There's times where you're totally committed. You believe God. And then it's like 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, Lord, please, this cannot happen. This cannot happen. It's God refining our faith. And so just please don't bring that up. But the more I talked about it, it was almost not right to say anything, not to say anything. But she's good. She's good. Praise the Lord. And so God is ready to meet our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. I want to have everything God has for me in each and every day. I don't want to miss it for something in the world or whatnot. Let me mention something else. Throat, my sinuses is distracting me. Number two, we must learn to completely rely on him. Kind of like the first one, but notice the first two words. Verse 11, he says, give us. It's a model prayer for the multitude, for the disciples. Jesus is teaching this prayer. When you pray, ask the Father to give you the bread that's allotted to you each and every day, both physically and spiritually. And so we must learn to completely rely on him, whatever the need is. This is easier, of course, said than done. We learn over time to rely on the Lord, don't we? Over time. But I jotted this down, and I'm trying to make sense out of this to everyone. Many times in life, we learn that our fellow man can and will let us down. We may have a burden. We may have something or another that we want, a need, and we're putting all of our trust in a person, and they're supposed to come through for us, and they don't. Okay, that hurts the heart. But if we're not careful over time, we learn to rely on what we call substitutes. If I'm relying upon a person other than Christ for my fulfillment, for anything really, it's a substitute. If I'm relying upon a substance for fulfillment, It's a substitute compared to what Jesus wants to give. And so over time, if we're not careful, we will rely and even prefer someone that isn't dependable. Rely or prefer on something that isn't dependable instead of relying upon the Lord, who is always faithful. Always faithful. He says, men, women, when you pray, pray it this way. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I know that you have provided all of my needs for this day, and so I'm asking you to give that. I'm in tune with you. I'm prayed up. I'm seeking your face. I'm seeking your will in everything I do. Give me today what you've allotted for me to have. You remember in the Old Testament, Solomon? Solomon said in one place, I believe it's Proverbs. He said, give me not, in essence, he says, don't give me riches because I might forget about you. Don't give me poverty because I may curse you. Solomon talking to the Lord. He says, give me what is convenient for me. Give me my daily bread. You know, and sometimes in life I think, well, I could certainly use a new car. You know, I could certainly use a new wardrobe, whatnot. And listen, that's just things. That's all things. I'll tell you what, we've not missed a mortgage payment of our house we moved into going on 4 years ago. God has amazingly allowed our vehicles to overcome the odds. God has provided each and every day that the allotment that's given to us, provide for our mortgage and all of our bills. And there's times where, you know, Lily goes to Christian school and that's a car payment. And listen, I'm just speaking from my heart. You know me, I'm not asking for nothing. I'm just preaching here. That Jesus is my daily bread. You know, and that's fine with me. I want exactly what he wants me to have because who knows? If he gave me a little too much, I might forget about him. And who knows if if a lot was taken away, if my home was taken away, you know, if Christy lost her job, if she came down with cancer, who knows how I would have responded? And who knows how you would respond? We would like to say, oh, we would respond the right way and have faith to move mountains. Well, tell you what, that's the fire. That's the fire. And so today I'm saying that I love my 2000 Toyota Avalon. Her name is Ava, and she drives real well. Whenever you pull up to a stoplight, though, you better hold that steering wheel. Got to have the rotors turn. We love our 2003 Toyota Highlander. Let me say something about that Toyota Highlander. One second. That Toyota Highlander we got was right when we first started going to Pleasant Hill. Next July we'll be members here 6 years. Five as pastor. And we needed a car back then, something a little more room. And I told Christy I was going to buy her a car. And I'll tell you what, I went and found that Toyota Highlander. She absolutely, it don't take much to please her. She's such a good woman. Found that Toyota Highlander every month for 4 years, hand over fist. Making that payment. And a day came where I was able to pay that thing off. And then she got to ride around in a car that belonged to her. Now, the funny thing is, the Avalon that we have, she bought that with her 2 years into our marriage when she was pregnant with Lily. She did good coming out of high school and worked. She was working at Print Pack then. And so she bought me a car. I bought her a car. I'll tell you what. God's been faithful to allow those two cars to keep going each and every day. God has been faithful, and please, please do not think I'm poor mouthing tonight. Y'all know me better than that. Y'all know me better than that. I can't keep silent. I don't want the rocks to cry out for me. I want to say that God's faithful tonight. He does have a daily bread for us. He fulfills us. He provides spiritual needs. If we ask for it, if we go after Him, physically, He's healer. I know everybody isn't healed, but they want to be. I just praise God that Christy didn't have anything. And that's not to say that down the road somewhere, nothing's going to come up with me or Lily. And if I got to thinking about it, I'd worry myself. No, God don't want us to do that. He wants us, Brother David, to rely on Him. He wants me to give Christy back to Him. He wants me to give Lily back to Him. And I want to tell you what, that's hard for me to do. But God knows right where to hit me, that He may knock a little bit of that rigidness off of my faith. And here's what He says. Oh, child of mine, you just don't know what I got over here. I've got a good report over here. You've had some challenges. You've had some bad reports, but you deserve this good report. You know something else. When it comes to Christy, I'm just purely speaking from my heart now. There was a time during that process, past couple weeks, where I needed a word. Can I tell you that I've read the story of Adam and Eve over and over and over again? The Holy Ghost of God told me it wasn't good for man to be alone, so He gave Adam Eve a helper. God told me, He said, I gave you Christy, and I'm not going to allow anything to take her away. At least, I mean, look, we can't tell the future, but God spoke to me, said it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to give you a helper. He gave me a helper. Other verses come to my mind about the goodness of God. The devil has a way, if we're not careful, of sabotaging God's holiness. He will take an opportunity when your faith is being challenged, and he'll say, God's not good. And can I tell you, even as a pastor, the devil whispered that in my ear for the past few weeks. God's not being good to you. Look at you, what you're doing for him. And now you're awaiting this test. And they think it might be or could not be. They want to be for sure. What are you going to do now? And I think I said it preaching the other Sunday. After I dropped off Lily at school, I went over to the movie theater parking lot and walked and listened to a message by Adrian Rogers. And he preached on the lies of the devil. And one of them was, he said, the devil will try to tell you that God is not good. I want to tell you what. If I ever need, that word I got that day, it was just like God came, the Lord Jesus Christ came down and flipped open the Bible and gave it to me. Because that exactly was what I was dealing with. I mean, I knew God was good. He saved me, changed my life. But the right opportunity came along. And the Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from thee that walks uprightly in me. Every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights. And listen, Adrian Rogers says that God wants to be good to his children. But the devil wants you to think that he's a bully up there. And he has an ego problem. And he wants you to be under his foot. No, my friend. Listen, if you experience anything this week, next week, future problems, and the devil whispers that God's not good, you take them to the Word of God and you say, yes, he is. Yes, he is. We may struggle in doubt at times, but the Word of God says that God is good. And I don't care what I'm facing, what the devil's telling me, I'm going to refute that lie from hell and say, that my God is good. Whatever happens in my life, come what may, and listen, it goes different directions. Sometimes it's good reports for people, sometimes it's not. The Bible says God's still good. God's still good. Well, I didn't intend on saying all that tonight, but I've been thinking about it all day. And I told myself I wasn't going to say nothing tonight. We must learn to completely rely on Him. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You, Lord. It's really amazing when the storm clouds settle and the sun begins to shine. It's really amazing of how we feel then. We have enormous faith after the storm, but it's like during that time we have crushed faith. It's amazing. It's really an amazing thing. But God, I think that's Your goal. With no matter the things we go through in life, You don't want to hurt us. You're here to help us. You want to grow us up. You want us to mature in You. You want us to be able to look at the lions roaring at us like in Daniel's day in the den and be at peace, knowing that You'll take care of us. Father, tonight we love You. We thank You for Your word. God, thank You for being the bread of life. Help us know and understand that each and every day You have what we need. You will provide, and we'll praise You and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's daily bread. I hope you're not left confused. I hope it made sense a little bit. And we're good on this end. We're good. I can't wait for Sunday to roll around. We got one joining on Sunday. Miss Noelle Sparks. She's been visiting. She's 30 years old. She asked me about it. She's coming from New Genesis. And I tell you what, it's lining up to be a good Sunday. Every Sunday's good, but some Sundays are shouting grounds. So I may have to wear some Nikes in my suit. All thank you, buddy. Everybody, all right, that's the service tonight. Everybody be safe. You're dismissed.